You know how it is with hip hop. The big people are security. Would you be our security? Cause you big. Doing an interview with my friend of 33 years, Charlie Mack. And with DJ Jazzy Jeff, there's a lot of history. And Charlie said 90 minutes. And if it's one thing I know about Charlie Mack, it's going to be 2 hours if it's going to be a minute, because he doesn't respect my time. He thinks he owns me. He actually basically jumped in front of a bullet for me before. He literally like ran toward a guy who was shooting. In another country, I'd be able to just give him a goat and we'd be even. But for whatever reason here, I owe him my life. My mic sounds nice. Check one. My mic sounds nice.
Check two. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey Jeff, DJ can Jeff. You see Charlie? Jeff, can you see Charlie? What's up, everybody?
33 years ago, and Jeff came down when he said, you know, I have an opportunity. Just released our record, Girls Are Rolling Up in Trouble. And we're going on tour, but it's a great opportunity for you to see the world. And I told Jeff I need to talk to my lawyer, because I had two of the cases. I didn't know where, you know, the status of the cases, where they were.
Two cases?
No, cases. Oh. Cases. Street pharmaceutical cases.
No, I thought one was a weapons charge, Charlie.
No, they were two gun cases. No, two drug cases.
Drug cases. Okay. So you got off on the gun charge. Okay. I got it.
Okay. Do you have that?
Yes. I'm just, well, you know what? I'm going to write some of this stuff down. I'm going to write some of it down. The gun charge was expunged in 85.
We were in a situation and a police officer went to pull his gun on Charlie and I grabbed the gun.
Yes. And wouldn't let, not let it go.
And wouldn't let it go.
Right. He said, let my hand. He said, let it. He said, let it go.
And I would
he said, let it go.
Not
he said, I'm
let
not letting
it go
unless you let it go.
Pointed at my man. Yeah, that was bad looks. That was bad times. But that's when you know that I love you, right?
Hey man, I love you back.
And, hey, that proved it. That was a terrible day.
And really, to be honest, the reason why I was hustling and doing all these things was to have a better life and go see the world.
We got a record, and we about to go on the road, and you're the biggest person in the neighborhood. So you know how it is with hip hop. The big people are security. Would you be our security? Cause you big. First of all, we have to talk about how Charlie got his passport and what his first experience is when he got his passport. And we were like, yo man, it's a better life for you. It's a better world for you. Come with us. We about to go to London. You can be our security. And as a crew, we gonna all rise above. So Charlie had to go down and he got his passport. We all getting our passports for the first time. And Charlie's looking at his passport and his face just drops.
Oh man, oh man.
We're like, Charlie, what's wrong?
I thought my middle name was Earl. It's Edward. He's like, what?
I was like, that's my guy right there.
Hey, listen,
he's my guy forever.
I was road managing, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, no, you know what? And that's another thing I just thought about. That was another big part of why our crew worked. Everybody was about growth. You couldn't be down with us if you weren't growing. You started off in the security, and then you had to expand into road managing.
Wait, didn't we go to a radio station and left Charlie? Because he overslept?
He overslept, yeah. Security was asleep, and we had to wake up and get in a cab and get ourselves.
No, it was my first day of road managing.
And then you wake up and you heard us on the radio station?
I did, man. It was a nightmare. And listen, let me tell you something. I didn't want to open my eyes. I'm telling you, I did not want to open my eyes.
You was hoping you was dreaming.
I stayed up all night to make sure that I didn't miss the call time. What both of y'all have done if the career hadn't worked out?
My brain doesn't do that.
Period.
No. I don't have a plan B.
No plan B, it distracts from plan A. I would have been in science. You know, I always loved math
and science. The year 86 that I was supposed to be going to college was the first year that universities started offering computer science. I absolutely would have been in the computer science. At the core, the way my mind works is much more scientist than it is artist.
GA series serum 391, compound 6.
The artist is the reach for me. What would you have been, Charlie?
You know what? I definitely wanted to be a CEO of a record company. Yeah. I always loved record. I always loved your entertainment business. Like, I literally made the commitment in 1978, 79 that I would do this to the day that I die. I just happened to be utilizing the street pharmaceutical,
yes.
You know,
yes.
finances.
Yes, drug dealing. Yes.
It's you.
Drug dealing. That's what you meant?
Yeah. So, well, I got a little surprise for you this evening.
Hey! D-O-double-J! D-O-double-J! He was just at my house a couple weeks ago.
Hey, Will, I didn't steal nothing either. I left shit like
Fresh Prince, Jazzy Jeff, y'all motherfuckers was like top five on some real shit. That first album y'all dropped.
I'm the prince, and this is my crew.
When you was busting the way Jazzy Jeff was cutting that shit, like you say, he was making the precise cuts. He wasn't overdoing it. And it was just, when we made records, we wanted to make records like that. I heard the fucking song Summertime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening. My ears say either Rakim wrote that song.
Yeah.
Either you and Rakim had a meeting or something.
No, yeah.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm.
Can you please settle that urban legend? Because people think, and Rakim McLean, that's my guy, but he thinks that you took his cadence. And can you please actually put that to rest?
Absolutely. Without question, I was trying to sound like Rakim.
Right?
And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it.
Rakim was my favorite rapper.
I ain't no joke. I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm gonna make sure it's broke.
I had just finished the album and I was going to the airport and we had partied all night. So I've been at the club all night. The album's done. It's great. So I'm walking out of the studio. I'm saying goodbye and they hand me the track. They was like, hey, we just did this one more joint last night. And they handed me the track for Summertime. Fate like crazy. My flight was delayed. So I'm in there and I was like, let me just mess with it. I was like, ooh, damn, that joint is crazy. And it's the only record I've ever written from beginning to end one time through and didn't go back and change anything. I wrote it from top to bottom, just how it is. But then I went back to try to lay it and my voice, cause I had been out partying all night, I couldn't get my higher voice. And the only way that I could get my voice out is I had to be down in there. So I was like, here it is, a groove, slightly transformed. But it was strictly because my voice was blown out. And then while I was doing it, I was like, oh, I sound like the R.
I sound like the R.
that Doggy Style album is like, I was mad. I was like, you know.
I was mad.
I was so mad at Jeff when I first met. I was like, yo, do you hear how that sound? How come my stuff don't sound like that, Jeff?
Cause I'm Snoop Doggy, Doggy, Doggy.
It was fuller, it was louder, it was stronger. The West Coast in general kicked up the production to another level. I still could get a little mad if I listen to that. Well, when I first told Jeff that I didn't want to have profanity in the music, he was like, yo, that's stupid. I said, stop cursing. No, but that was my grandmother. My grandmother found my rap book. When I started writing, I was writing with all kinds of curse words. Like,
really?
It fit in with what everybody else was doing. Now, she found my rap book and she turned to the last page and she never said anything to me. And she wrote, Dear Willard, truly intelligent people do not have to use words like these to express themselves. Please show the world that you are as smart as we think you are. Love, Gigi.
Getting the nomination for the Grammy, first Grammy, American Music Awards, what was that feeling to be the first one to actually win the Grammy and also boycott?
We boycotted the 1989 Grammy show. We feel that our music was important enough and is important enough to have been on the show.
It sucks because, you know, you waited all your life. You know, the year before that, we are home watching the Grammys on television, and fast forward to us being nominated, and you want to tell us that our category isn't important enough to show on television.
Mm. Yeah, Don, I got a problem.
Tell him, Prince. Yeah. Hip-hop was pretty much the biggest music in the world at that time.
Y'all ready to get this thing started into place?
Everyone said that rap would be a fad and it would pass right away. You have to think, that was 11 years ago. And it's a long fad.
We're a brand new group, but so what, man? We still got hundreds of thousands of fans.
You want to show 12 country and western categories, but no hip-hop. Mm. I didn't think about what we were doing. I knew we were standing up for what we believed.
This isn't a publicity stunt. It's the raw, untouched, pure, hard, brand new fun.
Hip-hop was too young at that point in time for us to let anybody take a shot at. When you're looking at it like this is what we do, you fight for what you do.
It is the kiss of death to need validation from anybody else for who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
When you're leaning in and you need somebody else to say you're good, that goes in relationships and friendships, you know, with all of these institutions that, you know, we're talking about. It's a shifting point of view that I'm having, and I would have a real problem encouraging somebody to petition for validation.
Mm. You know, Charlie, I used to think of you as a magnificant soldier of struggle that would overcome any adversity. But you're not. You're the luckiest mother that I've ever met in my life. Yeah, I'm glad we had this conversation because I just remembered all the times that you should have been fired. Like, you should have been fired a lot. And Jeff just loved you. He just loved you. And I fell in love with you. Nah, you my dude. You know you my dude. I would stay on. I'll stay on here with you for another 30 or 40 seconds. Easy. You're not a troublemaker.